flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Bruins have won 2 straight on their tour of Western Canada. That was in Calgary the other night.
That's there, right.
Mm-hmm. Is where that game was. Bruins right the ship. They win in overtime. David Pastrnak with the OT winner there. And for more on the Bees on a Bruins Thursday in the final hour of Jones and Keefe here on WEEI, it's Andrew Raycroft in Nesson. He's brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. What's up, Razor? How we doing?
What's up? Happy afternoon. Everyone good?
Yes. Oh, we're very, very good. The Bruins are doing better after their victory the other night. Look, Rocky, to start this road trip, outscored 13-2. They play better these last couple of games. What's the difference been in your mind?
Oh, well, they haven't taken penalties. That's the big one. Both of those blowout games, they took 6 penalty minutes within the first 12 minutes of both games. So you're on the road, you're grinding, and against 2 pretty good opponents, and you're behind the 8 ball right out of the gate. So they minimized that the last 2 games. Much better starts, much better, much more discipline, and just getting back to that defensiveness that they've had since Joe Sacco became coach, other than those 2 games on the road.
So Elias Lindholm had a goal and assist against one of his former teams. Actually, the game before that, he had an assist against another former team. Still sitting at, 4 goals, 12 assists, and 33 games for Lindholm, who was a guy I was excited about when they got him. I thought he was going to be a bit of an upgrade. Is this somebody that they can rely on, or is this just like a little bit of a blip because he's maybe motivated against former teams?
Well, hopefully it's not that. Hopefully it's him getting used to and getting over the pressure, signing the big deal, and coming here with the expectations. I don't think he's a 40-goal guy. He's done that once in his career, but he certainly has the talent to, and needs to be, with that contract, a 20 to 30 guy. So if he can pace out that way the rest of the season, The Bruins have been able to survive his lack of goal scoring, but the fact he's got a goal and two assists in the last couple of games, hopefully it's more of, all right, I'm starting to feel good, starting to understand where I need to go and the patterns out on the ice, and he gets on a bit of a roll here the last 50 games of the season.
We ask you this every time you come on, but Jeremy Swayman, you know, it's a couple of good games here. It's a bad goal there, mixed in with a bad game after the couple of good ones. It's been up and down, and mostly really down on balance this season. What have you seen from him over the last week plus, and what's your confidence level that he can right the ship and really look like the Jeremy Swayman from a year ago?
Well, I love this week. I love him giving up. I don't love him giving up eight goals, but I love the fact that he bounced back from that and played a really solid game in Vancouver. The guys obviously played great in front of him, didn't need much. I thought against Calgary, he made some big saves when they were down 2-1, when they were down 3-1, a big breakaway save in the third to keep them in it. So I like his resiliency this week. He still isn't getting all of the breaks. We just heard the Lomberg goal deflected right on the tape to Lomberg. So it hasn't gone real smoothly for him, but I like his fight. I like his bounce back, and I think he continues to grow his game. Of course, when April, March comes, it's got to be back to what it was last season, but I think he's working into that, and I think the season's going to dictate that a little bit.
So the Bruins face Connor McDavid tonight, and, you know, still young, but this is his 10th year in the league. Is he the greatest player of all time, and or does he have a chance to become the greatest player of all time?
Well, I would say, I mean, I'm not, I see, it's blasphemy for me to say that compared to Wayne Gretzky. I mean, Wayne's the greatest of all time, but I think the actual skill, talent, skating ability, there's no one better. And I think the big thing for me is there has never been a gap between the best player and the second best player quite the same as what Connor's done compared to everyone else in the league. Wayne always had Mario Lemieux or Jaromir Jagr, or this is different. Like, you watch Connor McDavid, turn the TV on tonight, folks, at least for the first period to watch him skate. You know exactly when he's on the ice because he is faster and better than everybody else. So for me, I think his level of play is better all time, but for me, Wayne's still the best player overall, kind of like the Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes thing, right? Like, Mahomes probably is playing at a higher level, but Tom Brady's still the greatest, similar to McDavid and Gretzky.
Well, we always attach, you know, winning the Super Bowl to the quarterback, or like in the NBA, like if you're the best player, there's really not a lot of excuses. Like, you need to win it. And like, the best player in the NBA really can control it, just like the quarterback can. How do you view it in hockey? Like, the best player at some point probably has to get a lot of pressure to win it. I know, like, eventually with Ovechkin, right, there was a lot of like, oh, Ovechkin hasn't won it. Then he did. He broke through. But if you're the best player, especially if there's this big gap, and I agree with you, it seems like there is a big gap between he and the next best guy. At what point, or unless you think it's already there, is he going to start to get a lot of pressure to win the whole? I know they were close last year, but win the whole thing.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's certainly you're not graded the same way in hockey. I agree 100%. Football and basketball, especially, it's the best player dictates so much more. There's so many more circumstances with hockey. You need so many more variables, and you need 19 other guys to be good. But to your point, you do need to win it once. If he goes 22 years in the NHL and second most points all time and 9 MVPs and doesn't win it, it will be a big disappointment, no question. But he does still have a lot of time. And really, I like, to your point, again, which is a really good one, is that you only have to kind of win it once in hockey. Like Ovechkin, he won it once, and that's always – it's never going to – you never go to him and say, well, he should have won three. You win one in hockey, it does really go away, and you don't need to win four or five or six like Patrick Mahomes does. Mm-hmm.
Talking to Andrew Raycroft of Nesson, the Razor. He joins us every Bruins Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. I was just looking up all the top goaltending cap hits in the league. Shesterkin's number one at 11.5. He has not had a good year. Bobrovsky, $10 million. You know, they won the cup with him. Is that a contract they're happy with? Vasilevskiy's in the top 10 goals against. Hellebuck leads the league in goals against. Then you get into Sorokin, Swayman, Allmark, who's actually played better. Will there be a hesitance to pay the next goalie coming up based on how some of these contracts have worked out to this point?
No, there won't be now. There was 3 or 4 years ago. That's going to change. The cap's going up, and it's going to continue to go up, and it's going to go up in a big way. Like, we're talking $3-4 million a year kind of from now on, or at least for the foreseeable future. So the NHL salary cap's going to climb up over $100 million pretty quickly here from all the numbers, and that will allow you to, you know, I think you still stick around that 10% of the cap you want to spend on goaltending is kind of the sweet spot. So the numbers are going to go up for the goaltenders. We saw that with Swayman. We, like, four guys signed $8 million deals this year. That hasn't happened. And then, of course, the Shesterkin deal. So I don't think the dollars itself are going to go up, but that's, you're really looking at the percentage of the cap going to goaltenders, and I think that kind of is falling in place with the cap going up at that 10% number.
How would you grade out the Joe Sacco sort of era here? You know, we knew there was a soft spot in the schedule when he first took over. Then you have this big road trip, and if you just add it up all together, you think, you know, Cam Neely, Don Sweeney, and guys like that are satisfied with how things have gone, at least in this short term?
I do. They're 9-4, which is great. But on top of it, it's just they've gotten back to their identity. They're just a better they're a better team than what they were prior to Joe Sacco taking over. There's a little more of a focus on the things that they do well: defense, penalty killing, and I think they're growing their game better. And I think you hear it in the players too. Brad talked about it after last game, the belief to actually come back in these games like they did the other night, the confidence that they're starting to gain within each other and with each other. So no, I think it turned out to be a good move, a good timely move to this point. But of course, it's all about how the next 3 months go at the end of the day and getting into the playoffs and having a run then.
Good question from the Twitch chat. When do you expect Patra back up? I know it's very surprising. I know, but when do you expect Patra back up? He's been on a tear in Providence. Yep. You know, the Bruins need all the help they can get, at least on balance this year in the scoring department. Would you expect him back soon?
I don't expect him soon, barring an injury or for another reason. But
bad question by the Twitch chat. I take it back.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah.
No. It is a good question. It is a good question. I think he's still just 20 years old, and he's hoping to finish his entire first pro season ever. Last year, of course, it got cut short with the shoulder injury right around this time last year. This is a development move. They don't want him to not score. And the fact, I think that the best part about this is that we are talking about him a lot. You can get sent to the minors and never come back. I know a lot of guys that started out great, like he did as a young kid, go to the minor and never really figure out how to be a pro. So the fact that he's gone down there, the fact that he's on a tear is a good thing. If he continues on a tear, at some point he forces them to call him up. But I think they're more than happy to let him develop and let him feel great about his game. And if it's in another couple of months he gets called up, or even at the start of next year and he scores 40 goals in the minors the rest of the way, he'll be more ready to be that guy at this level in the NHL.
Do you have any big plans for Boxing Day? And for us dumb Americans, what is Boxing Day?
Yeah, good question.
Thank you.
Boxing Day is the day after Christmas, December 26th. It's a day of relaxation and getting over the Christmas. Of course, in Canada, there's lots of Boxing Day sales and people go out and shop. It's kind of like Black Friday, not to the same level, but to the Canadian level.
Cash
so
those
a lot
rebates.
Of people go out and cash the rebates, bring their new stuff in, get the exchange of the gifts they don't really like but had to act like it the day before, and get the store credit.
Oh.
For myself,
it's a polite Canadian return your gift day is what it is. It's
nice.
Like, oh, hey, you know,
get the stuff you really wanted.
You know what? I don't really appreciate this, like, and so I'm going to bring it back in a polite way. That makes sense. Huh.
And you do it nice and quickly so no one recognizes. That's kind of
smart.
The way. There you go.
We should do that here.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, you run into, you run into your Nesson coworkers there when you're showing up at like a Best Buy or whatever. You're like, oh, wait a minute, what are you doing here?
No, I just got two of these.
I love this. It's
definitely
my favorite.
Not, Yeah.
Are you you big on the inflatables? We were just doing an inflatable store in Kiefer Madness. Our coworker Andy Hart very big on it.
Yeah.
You got the house all decorated there, Razor?
We have a little decorated, not nearly as much as what my daughter would like. I mean, I had to put the tree up and do the inside of the house. So, you know, I've got the garland, some of the lights, but not the inflatables. Although that Grinch is awesome. Like I really appreciate the fact you're dressing up as a Grinch and stealing other people's Santas. Like that's kind of funny to me. And it would be really funny, right? It'd be really funny if you just do it to like your buddies' houses. Like that is a great prank. I'm thinking about putting a Grinch mask on and stealing inflatables just to hear them complain over the next couple of days.
That is a good idea. Also, last thing for me, where do you stand on eggnog?
No. I used to like it, but I think as I've gotten older, a couple poor experiences. The other thing is, it only kind of goes with rum, right? And I do not do rum. Do you do like eggnog and vodka?
I do spiced rum mostly, but you can do brandy, you can do bourbon, and you can do like vodka with Kahlua. Fitzy's big on that. It's called the Yellow Russian. You do eggnog, vodka, Kahlua, and it's delicious.
Yeah.
Okay. You can put whatever you want in there.
Eggnog and a Caesar razor. That's what you got to have.
No. That's not good at all. So no, the spiced rum and the rum is not good for me. I have a poor tolerance. I have my genetics. I don't do well with rum.
That's what it is.
Your limitations. Like, that's smart.
Yeah, that's it's like me and Goldschlager.
Water, you get angry, right? Uh-huh. Like you can't do it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Razor, good chat. If we don't talk to you again before Christmas, holidays, Boxing Day, merry to you. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, you guys too. Have a great holiday. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
The Razor.
From my experience.
Genetically, he can't handle the rum.
No, it's not genetically. What happened was he must have had one or two horrible experiences.
I understand exactly what he's talking about. Yeah.
From my experience and like friends and people that I know, I think everybody actually likes spiked eggnog. It's just you may have been overserved at a certain party, and then now you're like, that like creamy alcoholic drink, you're like, I'm suddenly out.
It's like not with any drink
coming up.
The problem is if you're making it yourself.
Yeah.
Like the first one will be, you know, close to perfect.
Yep. Yeah.
But then you get a little loose and it becomes a little bit more of a heavy pour, and then you don't realize how sick you're going to get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like if you're sick on eggnog, horrible. You're just like
bad association.
Mississippi 3, Mississippi 4, Mississippi 5, Mississippi 6, Mississippi 7, Mississippi 8, Mississippi.
How many drinks was that for?
That was sangria for two.
All right.
Oh, for two. Oh, split that
you
in half.
Share that.
Yeah, you can share that
you
one.
You can share that
two
one.
Two straws.
And I suppose it's an ounce. Am I supposed to assume every
one Mississippi is
an ounce?
No, three Mississippis is probably an ounce. Maybe one Mississippi.
Well, I think it's a Mississippi.
John Taffa?
It's a Mississippi per ounce.
I don't have one of those fancy.
Three
like,
Mississippis is an ounce? No chance.
No, it's probably
did
more.
Did you hear that thing? It was like a gallon.
What's it?
Yeah, that was like a bucket.
Sounds like someone taking a leak.
But then, it kind of does. But though, that was something. So then the sangria, not a holiday thing. The sangria, though, that's vodka, flavored vodka, peach schnapps. That's
one
like
all. Mississippi 2, Mississippi 3, Mississippi 4, Mississippi 5, Mississippi 6, Mississippi 7, Mississippi 8, Mississippi.
Right, you popped out that plastic thing at the top of the
bottle. Yeah, you don't need that. Just slows it down. We don't have time for that.
Yeah, you don't need
that. I don't need that thing getting in the way.
Hopefully they're not a sponsor here, Goldschlager. But Goldschlager is the one where, you know.
Did you ever have Goldschlager?
Those gold flakes are not so good coming up. You're picking the gold flakes out of your teeth. I can't even.
It's real gold.
I can't look at it. Yeah, I can't even imagine how much money I wasted on throwing that up.
I couldn't filter out the gold and then resell it back. And like, how much for this gold?
Pan.
How much for this?
So is that like you had a bad experience, never drank it again?
I couldn't even look at it again. Yeah,
that was mine. That's Doers for me.
Doers.
Yeah, Knight of Quarters really did me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're not
saying any of it. They're all good with you.
Limoncello. It was one of those things where it was like late, and then like the only thing left was the limoncello, and then
that
was like
I know that game.
And Irish car bombs, I can't do. I've told that story before. St. Patrick's Day gone real wrong.
My first
too many Irish car bombs.
My first Irish car bomb. I didn't know you were supposed to drink it fast. It curdled on me.
Oh, you took a sip.
I was sipping on it. Not a good experience either.
Like, this is although really looks strange.
Ironically, I've gone back to the car bomb since then. I don't mind those. But the first car bomb I ever had, I didn't realize that was the method. I was just sipping
on a
curdled.
Yeah, spike slam. Poor spike slam.
Car bomb. No one told me.
The Goldschlager reminds me of there was, remember Jägermeister?
Yes.
Which I'm sure is still, it's like deer blood is what they call it.
I still like Jägermeister.
But you can mix the two.
Yeah.
They call it like liquid cocaine.
No.
Goldschlager with Jägermeister.
I thought it was like a Starry Night. That's like a nicer name for it.
Yeah, maybe that is a more PC name for it. But you'd put the two together.
Liquid what?
Cocaine. Cocaina. You'd put the two together and really, it kind of gave you like a fresh breath. It would give you like a really nice kind of spearminty.
A Starry.
Until you tossed.
Breath
was amazing until you threw up.
Yeah, blah, blah. 2 seconds.
A Starry Night is a Jägermeister and a Goldschlager, also known as a liquid cocaine.
Oh, it is. It says that?
No. I'm quoting you.
Yeah, somebody told me that.
I don't see that anywhere, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
But those were good. That was when you were doing well, you know, in college. Like, guys, we fell into a couple extra bucks. We're not drinking Keystone Lights this weekend. We're drinking Goldschlager and Jägermeister.
It was golden. There's gold flakes in there.
Put the gold aside.
The gold gets in there. Yeah. It kind of cuts into you. Alcohol absorbs into your system faster.
Why are they putting gold in the drink?
That's what I heard.
That's
what I heard in college. They said the gold gives you a little nick. And next thing you know, it absorbs into your system.
Captain Crunch. Pop Rocks and soda.
Yeah, do that. You're fine.
That's true.
Chew these Captain Crunches and then take a shot of this vodka. They go right into the blood.
I should blame my genetics for that, though. I can't, like Razor did. I don't have the genetics to handle the gold flakes. Yeah. That's what I'm going to start doing more. Blame my parents. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. Quite a discussion.
Yep.
On a Bruins Thursday. If you missed any of Razor, it'll be up on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Free. Easy. You won't miss any of WEEI this holiday season with the Odyssey app on your phone. WEEI Afternoons comes your way. At 2 o'clock, we'll check in with them, see what they have coming up. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag!
Have you found
Grab Bag?
No.
I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him, sir.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Oh, certainly it's time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe WEEI. Stuff we couldn't get to the first 3.5 hours of the program, including the Boston Celtics back in action tonight, taking on the Chicago Bulls. They had some time to take a break. NBA Cup, Jones' favorite in-season tournament.
I do enjoy it.
Took place earlier this week, so it'll be Celtics at home taking on a bad Chicago Bulls team.
They are, as we said earlier in the show, I think Terp actually mentioned this yesterday, they are the top two teams in the NBA in terms of three-point attempts. I'm fact-checking myself
Go.
I believe that's right.
I'll go. And Porzingis is questionable.
Yeah, it sounds like... Well, it sounded like they were pretty optimistic he would go, but yeah. I guess questionable listing doesn't guarantee anything.
Nope.
Yeah, Celtics are number one, 51.1. Bulls are two, 43.7 threes per game. So get ready for a lot of threes tonight. We spent a lot of time talking about that this week.
Let it fly.
I didn't kill my wife. I don't.
Grab Bag.
The Boston Bruins are in action. We're just talking with Razor about it, but they end their road trip against Edmonton. So 9 o'clock start, not a 10 o'clock start, so that's ideal. Like last night's game, also 9 o'clock. But Connor McDavid, like an opportunity to see Connor McDavid. You don't get to watch him a ton. Last year, obviously, they had a long playoff run, so you got to see him if you wanted to then. But like to Razor's point, he's one of those guys, if you know nothing about hockey or a friend of yours knows nothing about hockey, you just sit down and you're like,
That
guy's doing it different.
Yeah.
That guy looks a lot
smoother.
He's
pretty fast.
Yeah.
He looks pretty good out there.
He's pretty great at it. So,
I don't think it's crazy at all. Maybe some people think it's crazy to ask, is Connor McDavid greater than Wayne Gretzky? And it's similar to me as the Brady Mahomes argument. It's like, well, if their career's over today, no. But is McDavid tracking to be greater than Gretzky? I don't think that's crazy.
Every other player isn't on pace and you just like dismiss him.
Yeah.
Like, no. Now, like, Ovechkin sort of...
I was just going to say the same. Ovechkin can pass Gretzky, brings it...
I know.
It humanizes it a little bit,
it
doesn't
does,
it?
It does, because he looked
felt
like
untouchable.
The stats were silly. Like, yeah. You could just go up to Hockey Reference and look at the stats and be like, this guy played, like, other pros?
Yeah, now,
did this against other pros?
Ovechkin still hurt, right? But he was within, like, 30 goals of passing Gretzky. Right. I think it's something like
but,
that.
But, like, Gretzky also... The stats on Gretzky are insane. Like, wasn't there a year where... He had...
Yeah, if you took away his goals, he still would have led the league in points or something like that. Yeah.
Like, so it's just stupid. So obviously Ovechkin's not doing that.
Yeah, it was also no defense, goalies standing on their skates, fire wagon hockey. So, different. Like, the stats are a little juiced, FYI.
Connor McDavid has already won 3 MVPs. He won the Conn Smythe last year in a losing effort.
Yep.
He's led the league in points 5 times already in his career.
Gretzky did win 9 MVPs.
Yeah. No, but
that's pretty good.
McDavid's 28.
And yeah, look, I honestly don't think it's a crazy discussion. I think there's a lot of people who go...
McDavid last year had 100 assists. No. So, like, not 100 points, 100 assists.
If you go to the Wayne Gretzky Hockey Reference page...
It's hilarious.
It's a lot of black statistics.
A lot of bold points, assists.
So that is a league leader when it's bold. And, yeah, it's there's a lot of bold on that page.
I think it's at least a conversation.
Goals, assists, points...
Yeah,
even strength goals. Who cares about that one? But yeah, there's a lot of stuff. A lot of good stuff.
There's a lot in there.
Yeah.
Keith better watch out. Jones better not cry. Lanny better not pout. We're telling you
why.
Santa Claus is getting grab bag.
The NFL is adding a game show and a punting contest to its Pro Bowl skills competition in February.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said the Pro Bowl, the NFL
is
adding a game show and a punting contest to its Pro Bowl skills competition
in
February.
Everybody who complained about how bad the Pro Bowl used to be, it is worse now. I mean, just the fact that we're doing all
these
stupid games.
They're playing grab ass.
Just go back to playing no defense and playing a Pro Bowl. Just go back to that.
No, I think what they're doing now is like they're going to quiz players about their teammates. So it's like a real...
Okay.
Like newlywed game,
right? You quiz Alex Van Pelt on who plays offense on his team. Did you know about Marcus Jones?
I don't know. Yeah, of course I did.
Of course I did.
I mean, I didn't then.
I always knew.
I do now. Just call my
name and I'll be grab bag.
Nolan Arenado, the legendary third baseman, he of the Rockies now with the Cardinals. Vetoed a trade to the Houston Astros. Apparently the Astros, preparing for life after Alex Bregman, dialed up a trade with St. Louis, and Arenado used his no-trade clause. Like, I'm not going to Houston. What is this guy doing?
Yeah,
where's he going? It's not like Houston stinks.
You're already... Oh, that's what I was just going to say. You're already kind of out on him, right, Keith? Like,
I loved him as the player. I just think he's washed. I don't want to rely on him.
Yeah, but... Yeah, what does that say about you? You don't want to go to a team that a year ago went 88-73.
Yeah, but they're getting worse. They traded Kyle Tucker.
I mean, that's true. I love Kyle Tucker.
They're not re-signing guys. Bregman's leaving.
It's not like the Cardinals were miserable. They weren't a playoff team last year, but they were 83-79.
Yeah.
But just, I don't know. I don't like what that says about him.
I don't know. It's like, we don't want you. And he's like, well, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a no trade clause or... He's not a 10-5 guy.
It's a little
right?
like...
Can't be. He's not 5 years.
No, for sure not. It's a little like Omar, but Omar did it in the middle of a playoff run, which is even more embarrassing.
Yeah, no,
this is at least the offseason.
Grab bag.
This, according to Peter Gammons, legendary baseball guy, Peter Gammons.
Yeah, legendary pocket tweeter.
He also does that. Speaking of tweets, this is one of the more recent tweets from Peter Gammons.
Okay.
Three officials. From other teams in 4 days have claimed Craig Breslow has been the most active GM in trade discussions, two describing his approach as persistence. End tweet.
Two did that?
Two
of the four.
Two of the four described his approach as persistence.
Uh-huh.
So
he's being annoying.
Yes.
Yeah, well, right.
But
officials... No trades are happening. I mean, we give him credit for Crochet. I do give him credit for Crochet, but...
But three officials in 4 days.
Yeah.
That's a busy week.
get something done. Yeah,
but also...
Is persistence a compliment? Nick might be onto something. That might not be a compliment. They might be like, well, he's being persistent.
We told him no like 15 times.
Yeah, it's annoying.
He's annoying.
Exactly it. Yeah.
There's that great story in the NBA. I forget which GM it was, but he like knew he was getting fired, and the last week on the job, he called every team and asked for their best player. And he like,
is Jordan available?
Like,
what about Shaq?
Give me Dirk. They're like, we're not trading Dirk. Come on. I really want him.
I need him. I need this.
You're not cut
give
out
me
for
that.
This job. Please give me Kobe. Like, we're not trading you Kobe. How much for LeBron? Stop calling.
No, wait, that was a story? I've never heard that.
Yeah, I referenced it a lot, so I need to find out who it was. I don't know if it was an old Cavs GM or something.
Kobe,
it was somebody.
Like, Kobe, give me that.
It might have been for LeBron. Remember when LeBron had like no teammates around him?
Yeah.
It might have, like, the guy swung at every player. They're like, stop calling here. You have nothing to trade. It was like how any one of us probably would have dealt with that job. But no, what stands out to me about this is trades. He's still talking about trades. It means they're not going to spend money
on
anybody.
Good point.
Yeah, Passan didn't have the Red Sox link to Corbin Burns earlier today.
Okay, but ESPN had a list the other day where they did have him attached to signing Bregman. And the Yankees are supposedly out on Bregman. I agree. The Gammons tweet, the real story there isn't just that Breslow's being annoying and persistent. It's that he's focusing on trades because they're not signing anybody. Good point.
Yeah, that's my fear on it right now. So maybe it's the Seattle thing, which I'd be happy with. Like, I'll take that, but yeah, not great.
Grab bag.
Did you see the story that came? So yesterday in the grab bag, we were telling you how Cody Bellinger was traded to the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Did you see what people were on, though?
No.
Not that this is maybe the most uncommon thing in the world, but Cody Bellinger's wife is the ex-girlfriend of Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, no. And now teammates.
Oh, boy. Sizing each other up in the locker room.
Gonna be an awkward family room situation.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Something to keep an eye on.
Is Giancarlo spoken for now?
That I couldn't speak to.
I don't. It's Bellinger's wife.
Cody Bellinger's wife, I believe.
Is Giancarlo Stanton's ex.
Yeah.
Whatever
I don't know
if
that's when he was Mike
or
if that was a Giancarlo. I don't know. But yeah,
is he spoken for now? Is he a married man, or is he going to look to rekindle things? That'd be my concern.
Well,
if I mean, Cody,
what stopped him in the past?
I don't
Let's
know.
See.
I searched Giancarlo Stanton wife, and it's all about Cody Bellinger. So
that's bad news for Cody Bellinger.
That's not good for your Google search there. Like, you punch in Cody Bellinger, like on Google search, and you like fill in the rest of it, and
so
it's just all Giancarlo Stanton.
Back in May of 2021, the New York Post asked Giancarlo Stanton how he liked, quote, being one of New York's most eligible bachelors.
Uh-huh.
He said, quote, it's nice, and it also allows me to focus on being the best baseball player I can be. Sure about that?
Yeah, I feel like.
Sure about that? That's why?
Yeah.
I don't know if that
You're
adds
probably,
up.
Probably not.
How is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Grab bag. New Superman trailer today, Jones. After
yeah.
a lot of teasers for the trailer and discussion about when the trailer would be released, this morning, 9 o'clock, Superman trailer. I think I retweeted it at Dork Podcast on Twitter if you have missed it. But James Gunn taking over the DC universe, and this is sort of their first big-time movie. Comes out July of 2025. And it's funny, a lot of people yesterday were complaining because they thought the 30-second like little teaser they gave you looked a lot like a CW show. It didn't really look like a
Smallville.
$300 million. Yeah, it looked like Supergirl or like Arrow, and it didn't look like a $300 million film.
Okay.
The trailer
looked better?
Trailer did to me look a little bit better. I've never been a huge Superman fan, but James Gunn does good stuff. He did all the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. So I think this could be really good, but I don't know. TBD.
Twitch chat was discussing it earlier
today.
Wiggy was asking about it on his way out, as one does.
Yep.
So yeah, okay. It seems like it's got people talking.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's random.
Brandon Phillips,
Eduardo Nunez,
Curtis Luskanic,
baseball player of the day.
Before you even go, there's already a guess.
It's not Lance Parrish.
It's not Lance Parrish? Okay, there's already a guess by the text line. It's not Lance Parrish. Okay, good.
No, but I like getting in early.
Shoot,
you never
shot.
Know. Sometimes you might be right.
Yeah, get in
At
there.
Some point, they might overlap. All right, I'm going with a pitcher.
Okay.
With a right-handed starting pitcher.
Lanny just pulled the mic in real fast.
No, just prepping.
Okay.
Just prepping. Played for seven clubs in his career.
Okay.
Six clubs. Cardinals. Twins. Yankees. Cubs, Padres, Rangers.
One more time.
Cardinals. Jeff Samardzija?
No.
Oh, good guess.
Kyle Loesch.
No, that is a random baseball player, Billy.
That is a random player.
Nice shot. Cardinals, Twins, Yankees, Cubs, Padres, Rangers.
Brad Radke.
No, good one. Gave up a lot of home runs one year.
Yeah, I don't think he might have been a lefty.
He was World Series Baseball 95 for Sega.
Yeah.
He was he was in the commercial talking about how many home runs he allowed the year before. Yeah. It was a great ad. He was a one-time All-Star.
Okay.
1992 with the Cardinals, where he also finished third in the Cy Young.
1992. Okay.
Made his major league debut in 1986 and retired after the 1998 season.
Who did he make his debut with? Also Cardinals?
The Yankees.
Debuted with the Yankees in the 80s.
Yeah.
Was an All-Star with the Cardinals in 92, retired in 98.
And I believe...
Also played for the Twins.
For like a minute, he was a pitching coach for St. Paul's School while I was there.
Oh, well, here it is.
He's a New Hampshire guy. That's the big... There's a couple of them, actually. But
he's a New Hampshire guy?
He's a New Hampshire guy. One-time All-Star.
Oh,
1992.
I don't know.
He was 16-5 that year, the 2.16 ERA, threw 233 innings.
Sometimes
you ready
more,
for this?
The more hints you get, the worse off you feel. Yes?
Are you ready for this?
It's like a fish hook.
Yeah. 233 innings.
Wow.
90.
Hustle of the week? Hustle next week.
91 strikeouts.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I don't
like that ratio.
He wouldn't exactly make you miss. No. But...
Soft tosser?
Apparently.
I bet he wasn't walking anybody.
Yeah. I don't think he lasted long as our pitching coach, but he was there. For a minute.
See, now the New Hampshire thing's thrown me off.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Conquered New Hampshire.
Yeah, I got nothing. I'm looking now. This is a good one. Does the Twitch? Yeah. Does the Twitch?
Both text and Twitch has it.
Jesus.
Bob Tewksbury?
He got it!
Yeah, no, that's
win.
He was here.
Bob Tewksbury!
You say he was at St. Paul's. He was here as like their, wasn't he like their mental skills coach or something like
he
that?
He wasn't there very long. I don't know if our pitchers liked him.
Did he bet? Yeah, he pitched with glasses.
He might have.
I think he did.
Yeah. What year was it? Were you there for it?
Didn't scream athlete.
Yeah, were you there for it?
Yeah.
You were there when he was there.
Yeah, for like a minute. He wasn't like our coach, but he came in and he worked with some of the pitchers.
I thought this was after you. You were there.
I was there. Yeah. I was there.
I don't think the players cared for
it. We're like, whatever. Like, hey, Tewksbury's here?
Yeah, no, I don't think the players, from my sources, liked him very much.
No, I could get some of the pitchers on the horn if we could discuss that. Maybe a slow day in the summer. We can have them talk about Tewksbury, the pitching coach.
Yeah, I think he was
But he was a Concord High guy. Like, he was a... or maybe he went to Merrimack Valley, it says here, but he was from Concord.
233, 91 strikeouts. That's not a ratio you want.
Third in the Cy Young, though, that year. He lost out to Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine.
Wow.
Like, what a badass.
Yeah, no one was walking anybody in that trio.
No.
20 walks for Tewksbury.
Oh, yeah, he's not going to walk. He's not going to give you a free pass.
Is he a Tewks or a Tewks? I think he was Bob Tewksbury.
Tewksbury.
Not to be confused with Tewksbury.
Tewksbury. Yeah.
Tewksbury.
Nope, Tewks.
No.
Tewksbury.
That may have been the most answered one I've ever seen that we did not get. The text line is all over
people
it.
People like that
Twitch
one.
Twitch chat all over it. I was clueless. I wouldn't have got that with a million. I remember him, but I wouldn't have got that
do
with
you know who the other
many,
stud?
Many more guesses.
There was a couple of other really good New Hampshire pitchers. One was a stud. I'll give it to you now.
Yeah, Chris Carpenter.
Chris Carpenter, okay. Stud.
Yep.
And then he burned hot, and then he was like a one-time All-Star, and then he was out of the league. Jeff Locke. Remember Jeff Locke for
Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh lefty?
Yeah, I do remember
another
him.
New Hampshire kid.
Did not know he was from New Hampshire, but I do remember him.
Yep. Okay.
Nice.
Of course, Sam Fold from New Hampshire played against him.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
He wasn't
a pitcher, but guy could smack a baseball around.
Phil Plantier.
New Hampshire?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a state.
All of a sudden, you got a lot of good athletes. Brian Wilson?
I'd list
the
all
psycho pitcher? The psycho closer, Brian Wilson?
And the machine.
The machine? Yeah, we talked about him before.
I'd list all the Vermont athletes. I don't have the time to list all the Vermonters.
Well, we fight over Carlton Fisk. Wasn't he like born in one, grew up in the other or something like that? I think Vermont and New Hampshire both claim Carlton Fisk.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Good call. Anyways, that's a random baseball player.
That's
of the
how
day.
You play, folks.
Bob Tewksbury.
Yep.
Not well liked at St. Paul's School. Well, we've heard. We'll get into our clip du jour and see what WEEI Afternoons has coming up next.
All right, time now for the clip du jour here on Jones and Keefe. Jones, you ready for that?
Oh, that sounds great. What's the clip du jour?
Well, it's the clip of the day. And today it is us talking about what Adam Schefter had to say to the fellas in the afternoon yesterday about all this Mike Vrabel stuff.
Very clear, I thought.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
All we can go by with New England is I think the crash has been pretty clear that they have not been planning a change. They don't want to make a change. They're not looking to make a change. So, you know, it's moot with Mike Vrabel and New England right now, unless it's not. But to me, New England would have to fall apart down the stretch.
I've heard that.
Nick just said in my ear, it's a great take. Does anybody know anything when it comes to what the Patriots are doing? Does anybody have any clues?
There's nothing to see here, unless there's a lot to see here. Would he take the job? I don't know. Is the job available? Maybe. Maybe not.
Unless it isn't.
Could be.
It's moot with Mike Vrabel and New England right now, unless it's not.
Unless it's not. Thank you, Schefter. Well, that clears it up.
That's why we're asking.
Yeah.
Question. Pretty much nailed it
you
there.
You could hear, I believe, from watching the clip on social media, you gave quite a reaction, Andy, in real time when that happened.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the first I've ever heard it. Do you guys remember the famous Chris Mortensen one of these that the Vikings will fire Dennis Green unless they change their minds?
Awesome.
He did that as like a live report on ESPN.
Incredible.
So
Rappaport has gone down that road several times. If you read Rappaport tweets, it's all like he'll be traded or he's going to stay with the team.
You know what this tells me? Yeah. Schefter thinks they should fire Jerod Mayo.
He's definitely not
saying
they should
keep him.
But
he's like, I'm being told they don't have plans to fire him, but I have to at least acknowledge
a reasonable take. I got to use my brain
for a little bit, I got to acknowledge he stinks.
Because he is not saying he's safe. He's going to be back. No. He's going to get year two.
But then
he's
for other people being like, let's see how these next three games go, it's like, yeah, how do you think they're going to go?
How do you think this one's going to go?
They're the second biggest
underdog of the year. What do you mean?
Did you guys read the ESPN simulation of the final 3 weeks of the season?
Oh my God! Yeah.
No. I did not. Not yet. No.
No. What did it say?
They lose to the Bills 19-8, I believe.
Yeah, good.
So
that's a win.
To me, that's a moral victory.
That's good a cover.
Wait. There's more.
Oh.
It gets then buried. They go out the next week and blow out the Chargers 45-14.
Oh, I like that.
How's that happening?
45 points.
The New
England Patriots.
In one game. Three games. Three games worth of points.
Okay, and then what happens week 18?
Oh, they get blown out by like that similar score, 45-13.
Like 48-12
or something. You're missing
They score
45 points against the Chargers.
I don't see that
against
happening.
Anyone. Right, against
air.
You know,
unbelievable.
Yeah. Endicott.
That sounds plausible.
I don't love it.
I don't see why that doesn't sound plausible. It's WEI Afternoons coming your way. It's the crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You can get the perfect gift this year, the 99 Restaurant gift cards. They're the perfect gift for everyone on your list. For every $25 you purchase, you can receive a $5 bonus card for yourself. Our thanks to the 99 Restaurant. What's
There's
going on
my
today?
Answer.
What is it? What?
I just asked you guys.
Oh,
Last minute gift ideas for my wife.
The nines.
Boom. Oh, yeah. 99.
See, now, it's funny that on December 19th, you consider that last minute for Christmas shopping. Because I'm ready to.
You got all the time in the world.
I'm ready to white knuckle that thing right down to Christmas Eve.
I'm still leaving the window open if you guys had an idea that involved shipping.
Oh, no.
Because last minute, it's like the 24th.
Yeah,
I'm running around.
Stuff,
forget about that.
Stumble into a gas station on Christmas Eve.
We have a Tommy Curran Thursday. Also, Scal blew us off yesterday. So hopefully he won't do that again today. We'll be talking with Scal at 4:30. And by the way, you were talking about the liquors that you have bad memories.
Yes.
Rumplements. You familiar with the Rumplements?
I've never had that. What's that now?
It's like Dr. McGillicuddy's, but it's like 100 proof. I had a roommate in Boulder who just had it in the freezer all the time. And
bad altitude. Forget it.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nightmare.
It was rough. Wouldn't recommend it.
Right.
Rumplements.
Unless you really want to get hammered.
All right. Well, you know what?
It is the holiday season.
Sponsorship opportunities available on Jones and Keefe and WEI Afternoons. Rumplements, if you're out there. Anyway, stay tuned. You got Scal. You got Curran on the program today. Plus, you got Arcan and Hart. Stay tuned. And we'll talk to you tomorrow on a Patriots Friday. That means Keefe's Keys. That means a Friday 4-pack. All that good stuff tomorrow right here on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.